The murder of Patrick Herringer in his Over the Rhine home has raised questions about how the state of Ohio monitors people on parole. Now an Ohio lawmaker has drafted a bill named for him to try to improve the system. This is Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to talk about the parole system in Ohio and what this legislation seeks to change are Sarah Herringer, Patrick Herringer's wife, Lisa McCrary-Tokes, whose daughter Reagan was murdered in 2017, Ohio State Representative Cindy Abrams, a Republican from Harrison, and Todd McMurtry, an attorney and friend of Sarah's. Thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
We asked the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction to be on the program. A spokesperson declined our invitation, and we want to let you know this conversation will include discussion about violent crime and murder and might not be suitable for all listeners. The second half of our program starts in about 30 minutes. Before we get into this policy discussion, which is so important, I want to start by learning more about the people who have inspired these changes. Sarah, could you tell us about your husband, Patrick, just who he was, what kind of person he was?
Yeah, well, Patrick was the love of my life, and he is a decorated war hero. He spent his first real career in the military and served overseas in two deployments and received a lot of medals and honors for his act of service. And when it was his time to leave the military, he still wanted to continue on serving his country, but just in a smaller, more intimate setting, and wanted to serve the community of Cincinnati, his hometown. And so we moved here to open up a business that helps people do our business friendly movement that is designed to help people make long-term sustainable life changes towards physical and mental health and resilience.
Lisa, could you tell us about your daughter, Reagan?
Yes, Reagan was the firstborn daughter of mine and my husband, Toby. She was a 21-year-old senior at Ohio State University getting ready to graduate with a degree in psychology and just a month away from turning 22. She was going to continue on with her education and eventually wanted to open her own psychology practice, because being involved with helping others, especially when it dealt with matters of the mind, was something she was very passionate about. She was a kind, caring, loving person who was inclusive to all and had a smile that would just radiate and light up a room. Mm-hmm. And losing her has been a terrible tragedy.
Well, this terrible thing that both of these people have in common was that they were murdered. The man convicted in Reagan's case was supposed to be under state supervision with an ankle monitor. Lisa, can you tell us what happened to Reagan?
She was leaving her place of employment in the Short North on the evening of February 8th, walking to her car. She was kidnapped, robbed, raped, shot twice in the head, left naked and dead in Scioto Grove Metro Park at the hands of a violent offender who had a significant number of infractions while he was incarcerated and was still released into society with an ankle monitor, but basically was roaming the streets unchecked, unmonitored, and ultimately committed six previous violent crimes prior to abducting Reagan.
And Sarah, the man accused of murdering your husband allegedly cut off his ankle monitor months before this crime. Can you tell us what happened to Patrick?
Yeah, I mean, he didn't allegedly cut off an ankle monitor. He did do that. And he broke into our home and not only attacked me, but Patrick died defending and protecting and saving my life.
Representative Abrams, tell us about this legislation you're introducing and what it would do.
Okay, well, again, thank you for having me on the show and including me. A little bit about my background. Yes, I'm a state representative, but I served as a Cincinnati police officer in District 1 B2, which back then it was over the Rhine. So this is very personal for me, as it is obviously the others on the call, Lisa and Sarah. So the Patrick Herringer Act will do a handful of things. One, I will say that no matter where you are in life, no matter what you do for a living, communication is so important, right? We can all agree on that. Communication is number one. So this bill will require the adult parole authority or probation to enter the warrant of someone going AWOL or absconding, meaning they cut their ankle monitor, they're not going along with the program, they left the program, whatever the case may be. So the probation and the adult parole authority shall enter the warrant into LEADS, which is Law Enforcement Automated Data System. It's basically a database for law enforcement in the state of Ohio. So they're entering that warrant within 48 hours, number one, and then they're going to be required. They shall notify. When the word shall is in the Ohio Revised Code, it means you have to. There is no other alternative. So they shall notify local law enforcement. So think about wherever that is, the city, the county, the township, the village, and then they shall notify the public safety answering point, which is your 911 communication center. So we've got law enforcement notified, the dispatcher notified that someone has gone AWOL and that someone is going to be a targeted violent offender. We're going to define this in the Ohio Revised Code. We're going to define what a TVO, what makes you a TVO, the targeted violent offender. And we're also going to require real-time monitoring. So, for example, right now on my Apple Watch, I can get, it can tell me how many breaths I'm taking, how fast my heart is beating, how many steps I've taken, et cetera, et cetera. It can notify me of a lot of things. So why is it in the year 2025 that our adult parole authority is not notified in real time when these violent felons, because that's exactly what they are, violent felons have decided to cut the ankle monitor, not go along with the program, or get within the certain geofenced area near the victim that they're not supposed to be in? There is no reason why that shouldn't be in real time notification to that parole officer. And then lastly, if you commit a new crime while you are on the ankle monitor and you're in the post-release control, you're going to do more time for that new crime. We're not going to tolerate people committing crimes while they're on ankle monitors, because it's happening every single day in especially the three C's, the Cincinnati, Cleveland, and Columbus area. And I'm tired of it.
Let me ask you this, Representative Abrams, because as I mentioned, ODRC declined our invitation to be on the program, but they sent us a policy that was dated July 3rd of this year, and it says if a supervisee has removed their monitoring equipment without prior approval, a warrant shall be issued no later than the next business day following discovery. Are you saying that this legislation would how would it change that process, I guess?
So how it works is any state agency can have any policy that they want to, but the Ohio Revised Code, that is law, and that literally trumps any policy. So this law is going to, of course, go into effect, and that's going to dictate what they do. I mean, that's okay that they now have the policy, but they didn't have the policy a couple of months ago, and that could have saved Patrick's life.
We're talking about proposed legislation to change Ohio's parole system. Do you have questions or comments? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or email talk@wvxu.org. Sarah, what do you think of this proposed legislation?
I mean, it's the step in the right direction for saving lives and making our community safer. And it is horrible that something like this to Patrick or even to Reagan had to happen in order for lawmakers and those who are elected officials to consider public safety for this to be happening.
What do you think, Todd?
Well, certainly it's an improvement over the current situation. Most crime or violent crime is committed by only a very small percentage of criminals. So if we are better able to target those people and take better control of them, then we're certainly going to have an improvement and a reduction in this type of violent crime. So I see it as a positive step.
Yeah. Representative Abrams, how is your proposal different from Ohio's Reagan-Tokes Law, which was named after Lisa's daughter?
I think this legislation is... It continues on the Reagan-Tokes Law because really the missing piece, I believe, in the Reagan-Tokes Law is this real-time notification and, of course, the real-time, you know, immediate notification essentially to our law enforcement and the public safety answering point. And then again, being held accountable for the new crime that you commit while you're on the ankle monitor, you know, again, trying to reform someone and change their behavior to, you know, re-enter them back into society is very important. As the state of Ohio, we spend billions of dollars trying to do that every single year. And I think that this is the missing piece to the Reagan-Tokes Law, in my opinion.
Lisa, what do you think? Do you think the law named after your daughter has had missing pieces?
The law named after my daughter was initially a two-part component, and unfortunately, the bodies of Congress within the state of Ohio didn't get it over the finish line as they should have in 2022. House Bill 166 was the companion bill that went along with the Reagan-Tokes Law that adds additional time while incarcerated if you continue to misbehave. It passed unanimously out of Judicial Committee in the House on February 8th, 2022, which was the actual day that Reagan was abducted 5 years earlier. Mm-hmm. The very next day, it had 89 positive votes, zero negative votes. So it was passed successfully out of the House and then went to the Senate where it languished and nothing was done with it. Even though we repeatedly continued to contact and contact and contact, because part one without part two does not complete the circle of failure. If you are releasing violent offenders into society and they go unmonitored, unchecked, and they don't have consequences when they are indeed committing infractions and they know it, what do you think is going to happen? So absolutely, I feel like there is a missing component, and I'm beyond frustrated that it was not done at the time that it was already there. But I applaud Cindy Abrams for picking up the baton, because we basically are starting at ground zero again. Mm-hmm. The people who were the bill sponsors at the time that it passed out of the House have termed out. So you start all over again. And that's the really frustrating part that the citizens of the state of Ohio need to know. The primary goal and primary oath that officials take when they take public office is to serve and protect the public. And that is not being done with the ankle monitor situation the way it currently is. It is a false sense of security. People think that somebody on an ankle monitor is being monitored in real time, that if they break the rules of their post-release control, there are consequences, they end up back in jail. That is not what occurs. They are in society, unmanned, unchecked, continuing to commit crimes. There are so many that I can't even name them or count them since Reagan. And here we are 8 years removed from her tragedy, and we have tragedies like Patrick's that have just occurred, and nothing has still been done. This is 2025. The technology is so advanced. It's there. All we need to do is connect the dots and have the system function as it's intended, which is to be a preventative measure for crime.
Representative Abrams, let me ask you this. There have been some concerns raised about the law named after Lisa's daughter, that it keeps people in prison longer without giving them constitutional protections that they'd have in court, like having a lawyer or being able to face their accuser if they break rules in prison or are accused of breaking rules in prison. How do you respond to those concerns?
I don't think that's true at all. Listen, we're in the United States of America. Everyone has a basic right to an attorney. I mean, it's in your Miranda rights. I mean, I'm not going to say them right now, but again, have them memorized still. And at the end of the day, if you can't afford the attorney, the state's going to appoint an attorney for you. So everyone has an attorney. And at the end of the day, I totally disagree with those claims.
What do you think, Lisa?
Well, considering this was brought up and put before the Ohio Supreme Court and it was upheld for constitutionality and still exists, I guess that answers the question on how I feel about it. If you are an incarcerated individual and you are not exhibiting reform, why shouldn't you have additional consequences?
Well, we are going to continue our conversation after a short break, and later in the program, we'll discuss what it could take to develop more housing in Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're continuing our conversation about Ohio's parole system and proposed legislation that would change how the state monitors people on parole. My guests are Sarah Herringer, Patrick Herringer's wife, Lisa McCrary Toks, the mother of Reagan Toks, Ohio State Representative Cindy Abrams, a Republican from Harrison, and Todd McMurtry, an attorney and friend of Sarah's. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Sarah, we've talked about this legislation and how it would change procedures, how it would mandate these policies. What do you feel like the priorities should be in these cases?
Well, you're, in addition to the law changing, you're going to also need to get the police to enforce those laws and also do their job as far as picking up violent criminals and getting them arrested and back off of the streets. We know that right now, I mean, these laws, yes, are meaningful, and we have the data showing that there are 1,900 parole violators that have popped off their ankle monitors right now. There's 150 of them in Hamilton County, and 52 of those are violent criminals. They are the type of people who broke in and murdered Patrick. And you have to have also within the city infrastructure a police chief and leader, in addition to a police force that is actively finding those very few who are doing such great harm and being willing to get them off the streets as well.
Did you want to add to that, Todd?
Yes, I agree with what Sarah says, and I think it could be not as great a problem as we think, because as I said before, we're dealing with a small population. If there's 150 or whatever in Hamilton County, that's very manageable, and targeting those people is helpful. And I think overall in our society, we're seeing it, you know, a change where people want that type of protection and they want safer streets. So I think that that's something that all communities, Cincinnati, Ohio, should be looking into.
Representative Abrams, I want to make sure we're really clear on what the Ohio Department of Rehabilitation and Correction is doing now. In the case of Patrick's murder, Cincinnati police said that the department wasn't notified that his accused killer cut off the ankle monitor. Other media have reported that state corrections officials say they put that information in a database that police should be aware of. I know you're a former police officer, now a state lawmaker. Can you help us understand what the process has been, what the process is now?
Yes. So I know it's confusing. I can't even imagine. So basically, when you are a police officer and you have someone under arrest for whatever it is, okay, whatever felony it is or even a misdemeanor, you enter that warrant by law into Leeds. And yes, the warrant is in Leeds, but unless, let's pretend like, you know, you had Joe Smith arrested for, you know, felonious assault and aggravated riot, two felonies. And if I'm in Delhi here, and I'm a Delhi police officer, I have no idea that the city of Cincinnati just put a felony warrant in for Joe Smith. No clue. So unless you pull Joe Smith over, or you have a reason to interact with Joe Smith, you don't know. So this bill will require the notification to be pushed out to, again, if Joe Smith lives in Delhi, Delhi police are going to be notified along with the Hamilton County Communication Center, because that's important to communicate with the officers. And I will say The city of Cincinnati has a task force, and they have the CGIC, the Cincinnati Gun Crime Intelligence Center, and they round up felons every single day, which is great, but they need to know about them. So that's what this bill is going to do. So the communication is very important. And, you know, even the county has a task force too. So in Hamilton County, we're very fortunate to have a group of, you know, first responders that are willing to raise their right hand and not just protect and serve, but go and get the truly the bad guys, the felons off the street.
Lisa, you've been advocating for change since your daughter was murdered, since Reagan was murdered in 2017. How important is this legislation to you?
This legislation is incredibly important. Like I said, it closes the circle that currently has a loose ends because, as Cindy mentioned, communication is crucial. And if all parties involved in crime prevention and pulling together those who might be in violation, if they don't have the necessary communication, how are they supposed to do their job and how is the system effective? We pay thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars for an ankle monitor program that does not successfully do what it's intended, and it's intended to prevent additional crimes from occurring. Connecting the dated points is so crucial. And the fact that she pointed out earlier in the program, she's wearing a watch that can tell her how her heart is beating, how many breaths she's taking, and whatnot. The technology already exists to put out all the information necessary to all law enforcement throughout the entire state when there are violations by those that are most violent. Why? And how are we not using it in 2025? And how and why are we letting crimes continue to occur and not placing more emphasis on protecting the innocent and preventing crime from occurring?
Lisa, you mentioned that there was another part of the companion piece of legislation that was up for discussion when the Reagan-Tokes law was enacted or passed in 2022. Do you know why it languished? Yeah, I think you said it languished in the Senate. Do you know what happened?
It did. There was never any concrete reason or information provided as to why. And so that is very frustrating because this could have been enacted several years ago, and all the victims that have lost their lives since 2022 possibly might not have, Patrick being one of them, because this legislation was already there at one point in time.
Sarah, you've been speaking out so forcefully, so passionately since Patrick was murdered. Talk about what this legislation means to you.
It won't fix anything for me. That is the reality of this, but it is so important for something like this to happen because this is something that already should have been in place so that, you know, Reagan Tokes, Patrick Herringer, and all of the other people that we, for whatever reason, may or may not ever know, don't have to go through this. So this process can stop. This is a, you know, everyone has been commenting on how much of a tragedy it is, and it is not tragedy. It is negligence. It is negligence that happens on a systemic, from every single point in the system that is designed to keep its citizens safe, and it's something that really needs to change. And so I think it's more about that. It's holding the powers that be accountable and saying there needs to be transparency. There needs to be a fix in the system. This is something you should have been doing all along. And just like Lisa has pointed out time and time again, everything that's in place surrounding ankle monitors is for optics. It is not for protection. And that is disgusting to me. Why would you even go through that? Because no one knows that these monitors are not effective, that they're not monitoring in real time, that they offer zero protection, and the criminals know how it works. And who is the system favoring? You're supposed to be protecting people. And right now, everything that's in the system is written towards the criminal and making sure they have rights, making sure their constitutional needs are met. And it's overlooking the society at large. And that is disgusting to me.
Very well said, and I completely concur.
Representative Abrams, where does this bill stand? What response have you gotten from ODRC and other lawmakers?
Well, it's in drafting. I should have it back from our LSC, Legislative Service Commission, any day now, and I plan to introduce it. I had a big interested party meeting a couple of weeks back. Anyone that touches the criminal justice system was there at the table. So think, you know, Cincinnati Police, think Adult Parole Authority, Hamilton County, EMU, the Attorney General's Office, the Prosecuting Attorneys Association of Ohio. You name it, they were there. That's my style and how I like to do things. So the bill will be introduced, then it will be referred to a committee, and then it will receive hearings this fall, fall being next month, September, and then hopefully receive a full vote out of committee, and then to the House floor, voted out to the Senate, where we will continue to work into the Senate. And I will be very persistent. That's the word that people like to describe me. And again, public safety is my number one. It always has been. I took an oath to protect and serve, and I continue to honor that oath today.
Well, I've been talking with Sarah Herringer, Patrick Herringer's wife, Lisa McCrary Toks, the mother of Reagan Toks, Ohio State Representative Cindy Abrams, a Republican from Harrison, and Todd McMurtry, a lawyer and friend of Sarah's. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, we'll discuss what it could take to jumpstart more housing development in Cincinnati. This is Cincinnati Edition.